At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. China, the People's Republic of China. The economy, non-transparent, but Bloomberg reporting. China's growth prospects weaken as economists cut 2023 forecasts. Subhead, Chinese province bordering Beijing expands COVID lockdown. I add, U.S. sends first warships through Taiwan Strait since the speaker visited Taiwan. And energy crisis, this is worldwide, energy crisis tearing through markets leaves a trail of losers. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague. Gordon, how do we characterize the Chinese economy now? Is it in recession? Is it acknowledging recession? I recall that last week there was another tranche of, I think, $170 billion pushed into the banks. Are they stopping the bleeding or are they following down?
In reality, John, I think the Chinese economy is in contraction. No, they're not acknowledging it. So, for instance, for the just completed quarter, they are saying that the economy expanded by 0.4%. I think that that's fiction. Yes, Beijing is putting a lot of money into the economy, but nobody wants to borrow because nobody really feels very optimistic about prospects. They are, as they say in the financial industry, pushing on a string.
And Gordon, this headline, China's growth prospects weaken, economists cut 2023 forecasts. I don't remember the forecasts being bullish to begin with. Is that correct?
That's correct, John. Beijing set a growth target of around 5.5%. That was March of this year at the National People's Congress. Since then, financial institutions have been marking down their estimates for a 2022 GDP. That's going to continue as reality hits the financial community.
Now we go inside the question of the Chinese economy with, and this is very fairly geeky for those who enjoy the stock market, you will smile. The U.S. and China have struck a deal to allow American authorities to inspect the audits of U.S. listed firms based in China and Hong Kong, a landmark agreement that represents a first step toward avoiding further delistings from New York exchanges. This involves a board that is impossible to pronounce, so I'll read it out. The Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. We turn to someone who's familiar with these especially long titles. We welcome Charles Ortel to help us through this. Charles is on the money with Charles Ortel. What has the unpronounceable public board done to Chinese stocks, Chinese companies? My memory is that the U.S. was objecting that they do not submit themselves to audits, as our companies do, that they're non-transparent, and then nobody actually knows what pig they're buying and what poke. Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening to you, John, and to you, Gordon. Actually, an audit in this case is scant protection for an investor. People need to remember that audits are based upon information that is provided by management. Yes, auditors will attempt to check some of the basic assumptions in a financial statement. And yes, they can find errors. But if a management team is beholden to the Chinese Communist Party and not to investors outside China, and has more to risk from angering the Chinese Communist Party than it does from causing foreign investors to lose money, the information that you get, even with an audit in the form that they're now talking about having, is not going to help you. And indeed, the oversight body has frankly done a very poor job tackling companies that I'm familiar with, for example, like GE, complex multinational companies. Somehow, this oversight board only finds out about problems after they've happened and after investors have been skinned. Here, I'm more on the left. I think these regulatory bodies need to be tightened up immensely.
Gordon, isn't this a longstanding problem reaching back years? I remember when I first talked to you about this, it was a puzzle to me how it is that companies were being listed in New York that didn't follow the rules.
Yeah, this goes back decades, John, and China had an exception where it didn't have to provide basic accounting information to investors. This was outrageous to start out with. The U.S. authorities have started to tighten up, but they still should not be giving special deals to China. China should be subject to the same rules that investors from other listed companies from other countries are subject to. This is just wrong, John.
So the Politico report says this was an attempt, a first attempt or a piece of an attempt to prevent some 200 companies from being kicked off U.S. exchanges. I thought that was a done deal, Gordon. So this is a rescue of the Chinese companies?
I think it is a rescue. Now, just about 2 weeks ago, five large Chinese state-owned enterprises voluntarily delisted their shares from the New York Stock Exchange. And that's, I think, because Beijing forced them to, because they've got important information that they don't want to share with American regulators. But still, there are a lot of smaller tech companies that want to list in New York, and they will be able to do so pursuant to this agreement.
Charles, I come to you on this matter. The market is exciting these days. There's great enthusiasm for it going this way and that way. We listen to the Federal Reserve. We worry about the word recession. Is this a profound change for the market that the PCAOB has found a way to compromise with non-transparent Chinese companies?
I really don't think so. I think it is it's a Band-Aid on a market that is in the process of catching falling knives. As you point out, it's the energy sector and indeed the coal sector of all things that is storming upwards now. And so many companies around the world are negatively affected, some ways calamitously so, by the surge in energy and then in electricity prices, which really hasn't been felt completely. So we've had a very difficult period. We're heading into cold weather season in the northern climates. People are going to be forced to make very difficult decisions. Companies are going to be laying people off. Real estate prices haven't found bottom. Banks don't know yet around the world the right level of reserves to set. So this issue of pretending that Chinese companies are, in fact, in theory, being audited out of Hong Kong, no credible investor will take that move seriously. This is for the people who don't really do their homework when they're buying companies and just say, China eventually will go up one day. Why don't I have Chinese exposure?
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, I predict that China will not honor the terms of this new agreement with U.S. regulators. What's your prediction?
I totally agree with you. I would say that actually most financial statements, not just to pick on China, most financial statements of large, multinational, complex publicly traded companies should be filed under the fiction section in the library. They are not true representations either of the condition of the company or, importantly at this point, of their prospects. So this obvious deal to make a deal should not encourage people to be more aggressive investors in Chinese equities or securities.
Gordon, week after week, we report very carefully with our colleagues that Hong Kong is no longer a trustworthy city for liberty, for clarity, for audits, for people living there. It is, in fact, a city under guard by the Chinese authorities. So this is not the Hong Kong of transparency that existed 10 years ago. Is that a factor here?
It is a factor, John, because Beijing has been censoring political information. And of course, in China, everything is political. So soon we're going to see obvious censorship of business information in Hong Kong. And that means, among other things, this agreement is going to be worthless.
Is there a driver for this compromise, Gordon? Is this a gesture towards reopening phase one of the trade deal? What is the advantage for New York in this?
The driver is for the Wall Street community to be able to make money off of Chinese initial public offerings. That, I believe, is the main reason why this deal was made.
And does this help that phase one deal that was never that was never followed through by China?
Yeah, I don't think so, John, because in the phase one deal, China did agree to some market opening moves. But those really relate to a different aspect of the financial business. That's basically U.S. companies going into China to participate in the financial markets. This is really Chinese companies coming out of China to list on overseas exchanges. So it's the opposite flow of funds.
Charles, I just want to confirm here, what the board is permitting is for Chinese companies to escape the scrutiny that is routine for American and European companies. Is that correct?
It seems to me that that is correct, John.
Charles Ortel of On the Money with Charles Ortel podcast, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.